darlings, I'm Charlize, the founder of online storytelling platform Girls Will Be Boys, and this is Say It With Your Chest, a podcast which aims to shine light on the corners of important conversations which are so often missed out of the media or seen as taboo. This Girls Will Be Boys podcast offers you an opportunity to enter different people's worlds, share unfiltered conversations, and encourage our guests to say it with their chest.
One very defining relationship in my life, it was with a white guy. I finally broke up with him because I was just like, you're not in a place to admit who you love is who you love. A few years later, I got a message from a black woman who he began dating shortly after me. They had a child who he completely ignored. And I was like, well, wow. Thank God I dodged that bullet. People will say, oh, but you love who you love. So much of it has to do with social conditioning. Mm. I ain't trying to hear that. So many black people don't stutter to tell me, but you've got it good. And let me tell you something, on paper, having a shaved head, being dark skinned, not being a size 2, yes, me have it good. It could be fucking better.
So today I'm here with the sensational Candice. Do you want to introduce yourself?
My name's Candice Brathwaite. I'm an author and a content creator.
Yeah. And a mother.
Oh yeah, mum of two, that, yeah.
And your pronouns?
She, her.
Okay.
Yeah, she, her. Do you know what? I'm nowhere near the oldest in my friendship group, but because I had kids so young, I feel like I'm learning so much about pronouns and the way people identify. And so there's always a soft pause when my brain's like, what is the right thing? Or I'm always open to learning because my daughter's 9 tomorrow and my son is 4. So they're just from a completely different generation. And I feel like as soon as I get my head around one thing, there's a new thing to learn.
Mm. No, I feel you.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just checking. I was like, you want to say something else? Okay, no cue. Well, today I wanted to talk to you around the topic of black love.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Because I feel like it's a bit of a controversial one. Not necessarily in a bad way.
Yeah.
But I feel like for me, since I feel like I'd found myself and like what I had found through having this current relationship that I have and like how powerful it's felt for me. And I felt like black love is revolutionary. Mm-hmm. And I remember speaking to someone about it and they were kind of like, that's a bold statement to make. I don't really get it kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, well, first of all, you're white. But anyways, I then saw another side of it. I think it was a TikTok that you'd posted or a clip of you where you were kind of saying, go where the love is.
Yeah.
And that's for me.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I've been riding hard for black love, shouting on the rooftops. But...
And I feel like when people hear me say that, everything just crumbles because they're like, you're with a hardback Nigerian man. Like, you should be at the forefront of the protest for black love. The reality is, in my opinion, especially being a dark-skinned black woman, I wasn't waiting for no black man. It's not on my watch. I don't have time. Because from a very young age, black men, in a way that I didn't ask for because I was too young, black men made it clear that I was not the kind of woman they wanted.
Mm.
So I went into the dating market never looking at them. Like, I'm not going to waste my time. And there were times, of course, dating outside of my race meant that I had to be very aware of fetishization. Always struggle with that word and all of those things. But solidly in my mind, I was never going to marry a black guy. It just wasn't an option. To the point that old school friends, when they find out my husband's black, they're like, rah, you really shocked us there. I'm like, I shocked myself too. Things happen. And I always let the internet know, God forbid, body passes before his time. Don't be looking for no black replacement. Because even though I've been loved so well and I loved him so much, when I have conversations with younger women on TikTok or whatever, the dating pool, the issues around being a dark-skinned black woman are still the same. Nothing is changing. So God forbid he dies when I'm 50, 60. I'm going to jump back into that. You're mad. You're mad. So especially dark-skinned black women who in no way concede to European beauty standards, you better widen your pool. I know. It's not only lovely to be in love with someone who is from the same race. It feeds you in a way that I can't explain.
Right.
being with someone from another race or culture sometimes can be extremely exhausting, the things you have to explain. And then you may really love and get on with them. It's their family, it's their friends, it's the barriers of which surround where they come from. There's always layers to it. There is something about being with a black man that means that my shoulders are never up in my ears. I'm never tense, I'm never like on edge. I never think I have to over explain anything, which I did always have to do when dating white men. So I know there's an ease to this love, but this ease isn't worth the fight that women that look like me have to go through to get it.
What have you like been your experiences dating? Well, I know that you said you didn't even try to date black men. Cause like what was society telling you? Cause I know what my experiences were and it's probably going to be similar.
Yeah.
But
I remember being on the bus when I was maybe 6 or 7 and it was really packed. So my mum and I had separate seats. She was right at the back and I was right at the front. And I remember this black man, must have been about 45, 50 with locks, leaning over me. I remember I'm 6 or 7 and he was like, "You're so ugly, you know? No man's ever gonna love you. You're so black, you're so ugly." I am 6 or 7 years old. So like I said, it's not even a conversation I'm trying to entertain. Like I'm really sitting down reading Postman Pat. And there's a black man in the later days of his life already letting me know what the setup is going to be. Then, of course, we go to school, especially in the early secondary school days. I went to an all-girls school. There was an all-boys school nearby. And we all used to meet up at the top of Crown Point deep in South London. And then the boys would do this layout thing where they'd put, like they'd order the girls in terms of beauty. And I'd always be at the bottom or near the bottom, just based on my skin tone alone. This was like the early mid 2000s. So this is really when, I hate the word, but this is really when lighty culture or video vixenism was at its peak. And so black boys that could have been my twin brother were very vocal about me not being the beauty standard and them not finding me desirable. I'm a lot older now, and I will say, in some weird way, not being desirable freed me up from early.
I always say this.
I watch so many of my friends who either were the beauty standard or who were on the border of that desirability then do everything for man. Every display, every fashion choice, every rave they went to, even the music they liked, came down to aligning themselves for the male gaze. I knew from early on that I quote unquote wasn't worthy of the male gaze. So that made me go in a completely different direction. That made me shave my head at like 16, 17.
I was going to say, did it make you like, did you feel like
I was just
the shackles weren't there?
Oh, you don't like me anyway? Right, the party's on. I'm really going to do for me because I understand that no matter what I do, I'm never going to be that. So I might as well really do a deep dive on the kind of person I want to be or how I want to show up in the world. And I think even though it was so painful, maybe one of the most painful things to learn and understand, now at almost 35, I'm so grateful for that because it shows up to this very day in the way that I carry myself, my fashion choices, the way I speak. I'm not here to appease to the male gaze of anyone. I really don't care. And I remember when I cut my hair and I was working, my dad was a solicitor and I was a receptionist at his law firm at the time. And I just came in with like no hair. And he wasn't a man of many words. And he was just like, fucking hell. He was like, fucking hell, Canned. Because he called me Canned. You're never going to find a fella like that. And I was like 17. And I was like, thank God I'm not looking for one. Boop, dead. And then like, I must have been about 20. And we were walking like that same path. There were two offices. And he put his arm around me. And he was like, he was like, you really shocked me at the beginning. But he was like, this is so you, please don't ever change. So even my dad, who was so much older than me, it made him tussle with himself about beauty standards. And because in his mind, he was like, no, a black woman's hair is her beauty. Before that, because of the way my dad lived his life, I'd never questioned me being his beauty standard. His wife was the same complexion as me. She was very plus size. His biggest crush was Charlene White on the news. So I was never like feeling away because my dad seemed to love women that didn't look like me. But the hair thing really threw him. He was like, but I came from a time when doing that meant you like girls. And I was like, And so what if I did? You know, he had to learn so much through me. And him apologizing and being like, you know, this is levels. I was like, well, it took you long enough. It was levels without your opinion. But thank you for recognizing that you had a lot to learn in this situation. And since then, I've never had hair.
Mm.
Like, I just don't. I don't personally have the time for it. I see the girls doing the lace front and the edges. And I'm highly jealous because I don't know where to start. I remember I tried to get a wig one time. And then she like sent me the price. Okay, the price is the price. No. The bundles is one thing. The closure is the next. The baby front is the next thing.
Right.
Then she has to style it. Then she has to install. Then I found out install only lasts 3 fucking days. I was like, ma'am, we're coming close to £1,000. And you want to tell me 3 days later things are going to be lifting? Get out of my face. Get out of my face. I was like, this trim cost me £20. You can just remove yourself.
It's true. No, wigs are.
Like, not that she was cheeky, but I just thought it deeply saddened me to think that there are black women who have incorrectly been taught that that standard is all their worth and it's all their beauty. And in this economy, girls feel like they can't appear without their £800 wig.
Mm.
Wanting it and feeling you need it are two different things. I want a lot of things. And like I said, if I could get over the fear for plastic surgery, you couldn't tell me nothing. My body would be done.
I literally was having this conversation the other day.
If I could like believe that I'm gonna wake up alive, my boobs would be up here. You couldn't chat to me. You wouldn't even be able to see me. But it's a fear thing. So I'm not about telling people what they should or shouldn't do. But with black women and hair, so much of it is trying to appease to that male gaze or fit into beauty standard. And it's having not only an effect on their confidence, but your pocket. Like, this is high money investment in something that I just don't think we need.
I feel like it's really hard with what I found in my experience. Obviously, the main thing was like, I just wanted to love myself and be loved in return. Mm. I wasn't finding that from black men.
Mm.
But then at the same time, I was like finding that sometimes elements of me were too black for other races. So then I just felt undateable. And I was like, well, where do I go from here?
Yeah.
Because, well, too much and not enough.
Yeah.
Where do you go? I mean, obviously, I do feel like it's been a much better experience for me. I'm grateful that I am queer and that I've been able to explore it with a black person, but a black person who's a woman. It's been a much better experience than men because I just felt like I wasn't going to win with black men. And I felt like, do you know what? I'm going to end up probably with a white man because at least I'm going to be appreciated. But then it's like, but wait, is it the tokenism or is it the, which one? Is it? I feel like it's very confusing, and I can understand also that there's a lot of shame in dating outside of your race.
So do you know what, for me it was interesting. I came from a space where the adult black women in my life felt very emboldened and very excited by the fact that I was dating white men.
Really?
Girl, it was like I'd won some kind of lottery. Because they've been so hard done by black men. Again, now I'm older, the men in my life that I love so deeply, I'm having to understand that the father figures they were to me are not the husbands or the boyfriends they were to other people. Those are two different things. And I'm having to be like, whilst I love you as like a male guardian, you were a really shit husband or boyfriend. And now this family member is having to pick herself up because of the things that you did. And so me making a decision early on not to date those men that looked like the people that caused those women heartbreak, those women were like, yeah, go on, go for it. To the point though that when I was having troubles in relationships with white men, they were begging me to overlook it, like, oh, don't worry that his mum's racist, she'll come around.
Wow.
Just very like, please, anything is better than what I've been through with these black men. I said, well, we're really in a pickle. Because as much as I wanted to be loved, I didn't want to be loved that much.
Yeah.
I knew that. I was like, no, because someone's mumsy's getting boxed down. And then, do you know, someone's Christmas is getting torn up. I don't want to be the one flinging the turkey out the window. But what I can't do is be with this white guy who doesn't have the confidence to tell his family who he loves and why that is and all these other scenarios. And I remember one very defining relationship in my life. It was with a white guy and I finally broke up with him because I was just like, you're not in a place to admit who you love is who you love. A few years later, I got a message from a black woman who he began dating shortly after me. They had a child who he completely ignored, who he completely like didn't want, wanted nothing to do with the child, nothing to do with her, like very much that. And I was like, well, wow, thank God I dodged that bullet because I could sense it. Do you understand? So then to think that there's a child in this scenario who the white father doesn't want to be around them because it represents a side of him that he's trying to hide, it can get very, very messy. So I'm really happy I made that decision for myself. But there were so many women around me of all ages who were like, that's the silliest decision you'll ever make. Mm. Is it? Because also then we're not rating ourselves. We're not rating ourselves. We're not rating how we can show up in the world and maybe build the lives we desire for ourselves outside of any man.
Mm.
And that's been the most important thing for me. I'm like, if Bode pops it tomorrow, is the lifestyle I've created unwavering? It absolutely is. And that's what's most important. So that any person that comes into the chat, I don't feel like they need to do anything else but love me. Like it's not added. I don't feel like you're boosting my social reputation or any of that stuff. It's just the relationship. But back then, being so young, I had to learn them lessons the hard way.
Yeah, there's two things I want to like touch on what you've just said. The first one I wanted to ask you was like the kids thing.
Yeah,
so when you were dating white men,
yeah,
did you think about
how
that could play out? If you
I thought about it all the time, and I worried about it. I worried about giving birth to children, specifically a girl, who would have a much easier time of life than me, just based on the fact that she'd be mixed race. And that's a fact. Mm. There'll be certain situations she'd show up in where maybe even she could be the one causing a later version of me pain because of colorism, because of that gap, because of the beauty standard. And I already knew in my mind that I would have to raise the most Afrocentric mixed race girl you would ever meet
yeah,
for me to feel like I was closing this gap. Like, I don't want you then to go out and be that kind of aggressor that has caused me pain based on this pyramid or this hierarchy of the beauty standard or colorism or whatever. So I thought about it a lot. I won't say luckily, it's just that the chips fell how they have. And even though of course she's not mixed race, Esme is quite a few shades lighter than me, so it's still something I have to look out for in her. Like, do you think you're a bit better? Like, because I can't control all the messaging. I'm not there all the time. So far, so good. We praise the Lord. Also, though, it's now having a black son where I'm like, I can't lie. The boys before I had this boy were very shit. How do I go about being active about not standing for shit from him? And that's not to say that as his mum, I won't support, you know, whoever he loves, but I will be that voice in his ear who's like, before you even say you love them, where are these feelings coming from? I think sometimes these things aren't questioned, because, and I go on record saying this a lot, so many black men date and marry outside of their race for a social boost, for a confidence boost. And I know this to be true because I once had a conversation like this online and a white woman DM'd me and was like, Jesus, I've been married to my black husband for like over 10 years and he constantly berates black women to me. And she was like, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I don't think he loves me. I think he loves what I represent in whiteness socially. And the way I just swiped it back to unread, because I said, sure. I said, girl, it's not every problem is my problem, innit?
I was going to say, that is weightier than right? What she just bought, what she thinks she just bought.
I was like, I can't help you. I just can't help you. What's so interesting is I'm sure there were times that you were presented with glimmers of that before, but because it never harmed you, you didn't care to pay it any attention. You don't just wake up after 10 years and be like, oh, you know, I think he hates black women. No. You've seen that from early.
You were complicit.
But because you are the prize, you are the token in this scenario, you were willing to act unaware. And now following this very black woman who's very vocal about these things, something in you is feeling triggered. That's not for me to unpack, because not only do I not have time for you, I defo don't have time for your man.
Me and Sky were literally having this conversation. It's like, where Sky was like, I don't understand how there's certain white women that just know a black guy will fancy them. And there's just black men that only date white women, and they always find each other. And always, how do they know?
Always.
And what is it in, it can be any white woman over a black woman. What is it in the
I've
white
I've seen
men?
Some things in my time. I hate to be that person, but how can I say this without saying it? I've seen some very well-to-do, esteemed black men, handsome, you know, all of the stuff on paper, because I don't know their personalities like that. And then when I see their significant other, I'm like, no, you really mean that by any means necessary, having a white woman on your arm is giving you some kind of deliverance. You really mean that. Because I'm like, on paper, I know the black women that would happily be married to you. Also, it's not just that. I've also seen, especially when I was growing up, celebrity culture back in the day, I've also seen how horrendously some celebrity black men treated their black partners at the time to then divorce and maybe get with a white woman, how it was just immediate, I'll exalt you, put you upon high. And I'm just like, we're tapped, man. We're so tapped. Like, sometimes I'm just begging for God to just do his thing and bring the tsunami, because I'm like... No, bring the tsunami, because I'm tired. And I think the only way to solve this is to wipe us out. Start again.
Man. But like, going back to being a mother of a black man.
Ooh,
what? Because I don't want to put the... I feel like black women get blamed for everything. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't want to put the blame on black mums and say, you're not raising your children right? Why?
I just deeply think it has so much to do with the way they're socialized and the programming. Do you know what I've made a conscious effort to do? And I know some people would be like, oh, that's so bad. I couldn't give a shit. I create an echo chamber where I decide how much media I'm going to consume where I'm not at the forefront. If there's a popular show and they've specifically chosen a lighter skin, I don't always watch it. I don't always engage, because I need to top myself up with being the star of the show. It happens so infrequently that I have to be measured about what I consume, so that one day I just don't wake up feeling like, am I not the shit? That's something I consciously, actively have to do. So what for my son, who is just watching shows and just listening to music and will just watch music videos and not understand how this messaging is on repeat and it's everywhere. So I'm always going to have to like cut in and be like, watch this. Think about, my hopes are high just because I've never met a black man who loves black women more than his dad. And his dad is like a very specific kind of black. Like if he was in a room with, say, Beyonce, I wouldn't worry. Laura Mvula, we got a problem. We got a problem. Any of the Dora Menage, we have a problem. Because their daddy's very like, no, she has to look black, and blacker than that, and some more black. And so hopefully that will rub off on him, because again, people will say, oh, but you love who you love. So much of it has to do with social conditioning. I ain't trying to hear that. I'm actually not trying. So, and I have to work extra hard, because now we live in a predominantly white area. There's only like 3 black girls in Esme's whole year.
It's like me when I'm in school.
At school. So again, what does that mean for the people he's around and what he will believe is attractive? I know I've got a long road ahead. And I know I'm going to be tested. I can sense the devil already. The devil's like, I got something for you. And do you know what? I've got something for you too, because I'm not going to love him any less, but you're not going to be raised in this house with me, your very black mum and your very black sisters, and grow up and chat shit. Someone's going to knock someone's teeth out. And whilst I don't encourage violence, I might not step in too quick either, because... your sisters will be able to teach you lessons that hopefully you'll understand that Because here's my thing, and I see it a lot online right now. Even if you say that black women aren't your preference, it's the lack of protection around black women.
Right.
It's the lack of having someone stand up for them. It's the lack of having black men stand in for them.
Mm.
It's that for me. You can love who you love all you want, but why does this love and your preference always come with a margin of we can talk about black women however we want?
Mm.
I don't see any other race do that.
Yeah, it's so true.
I don't see any other race hang their women out to dry the way black men do black women. I have yet to see it. Even if these people from other races date outside their own race, black men, a lot of them are just on the edge of their seat, waiting. Ooh, is this my chance? Is
it, right.
Like, how can you be so hungry to do that?
I'm just like, if you love your mum.
So they say. So they say. I
mean, there is that.
So they say.
There is that.
Do you love your mum, or do you like that she was the first woman that was in service to you? No, so they say. So they say.
I have never heard it put so like that before. So they say.
Do you actually love her, or was she the first one to just always be there for you? And I can say factually and out of experience and out of researching it really well, there is a deep, unlevel, scary enmeshment oftentimes that comes with black mothers and black sons for various reasons. And they will let their, they will be really harsh on their black daughters and throw them out early and put all these restrictions on them. You got to pay rent. You got to do this. You got to do that. And the sons will come and have 22 baby mums and not have a job and play PS5 all day. And that's still her little prince. We have a problem. So in my household, I'm already working on trying to counteract that. I don't necessarily ask Esme to push a Hoover. I'm like, what are you building with your Lego? What's the STEM conversation? RJ, I'm like, oh yeah, come get this Dyson. Because we have to do that. We have to do that for some kind of balance moving forward. Because for too long, I've watched where you have boys and girls raised, black, I'm speaking about specifically black, raised in the same household and have such different experiences, specifically with their mothers.
Yeah.
And it blows my brain. I'm like, if there's something I know I have the power to change, it's that.
Yeah.
You know, and I've said it as many times as I can. I can't control what my son is going to go and do, but you best believe you're not going to bring Bethany to my house on Monday and Charlene on Tuesday. Stop snitching. Me. I'm going to be on that front lawn with a megaphone. I'm going to be like, Mary, you don't know Bethany was here on Monday. Yes, come down and let me tell you.
Oh my God.
We need to stand in for each other like that. And I see so many mums of all races just turn a blind eye.
But what do you think is this protection for the black men when they are the most rated in our race? But still, everyone protects them.
I don't know.
Because I can't find it.
I don't get it. I honestly don't get it. Because when I look at that pyramid of power and hierarchy, they're not the ones that need the most protection. So, I honestly don't know what to tell you. I don't.
I mean, I don't really deal with men, period. Yeah. So I'm just like, I'm just intrigued. But anyway, I'm asking for a friend. Well, I wanted to talk about, like, I think black love is always linked to relationships, but I want to talk about like self-love and how that is important as a black woman. And I don't know, like, when do you feel like you became so strong in your journey of like, no, this is who I am, and I am not dealing with all of this outsideness? I mean, obviously, like, you're human, but the resilience.
Do you know what I think? I think people will be shocked to know that that's only like recently. A major life change happened for me in 2020, one that I can't even be bothered to discuss. But I know for me, that was like the final hurdle. There were many hurdles before that where I was growing into my confidence as a person and really believing that I can make decisions by my own and I didn't necessarily always need backup or /approval. But something happened in 2020 that just ripped that right from the root. And so now the version of Candice you see is very much about that. But it had to come in stages, of course, becoming a mother to a black girl, that was a new stage, because I was like, right, I'm the first port of call for everything, for how she feels about herself, for the conversation she's gonna have. She had, I decided to give her locks. I hate the term dreadlocks. She had locks from she was like two. She then made the decision when she was about six to get rid of them, because locks are, they're not as easy as they look. I'll just,
my mom
had
locks.
Like, so we spent the whole, I think it was the whole summer of 2020 unpicking them, because obviously she didn't, not obviously, she just didn't fancy a shaved head. I get it, she's six. So literally I was able to unpick like three locks per day. Like, that's how long this process took. And I think it took us about the course of 7 weeks. And in doing so, in being present for that and helping her literally transition in that way was really, really powerful. But that was also helpful for me about how I want to show up in the world and how I make decisions as a Black woman. So self-love for me is always like that. It's never like too much down there anymore. I think in my teen years, there were definitely whole days, even weeks, where I was just so put upon because God didn't make me light skinned. So put upon because I wasn't a size two. Oh God, how could you do me like this, Lord? No, just utter depression. Like, because like, and this is such heavy wording, but that's how I felt. How could you curse me this way, Lord? Why does everyone get to have a good time? And I'm the one that doesn't have a boyfriend or doesn't get spoken to. Lord, how could you do this to me? We ain't never been back there. We ain't been there in a hot minute. But I do have like, my dips in self-love are normally now always tied to something happening, or rather not happening in my career.
I so feel you.
And not happening based on what I look like. And that's not something anyone's ever going to have the chest to say to me. They're not going to be able to say, you didn't get this job because you don't wear a weave and you're not light skinned and you're not a size. No one can say that now. We're in a PC time. No one's going to say that. But I've been alive long enough to know when something should have been mine and it's not based on what I look like. That's when there's a slight stutter. And I might have 2-3 days of being like, for fuck's sake, man, I can't change this. Actually, that's a lie. I can, and I choose not to.
Yeah.
And why is it that hard work and talent is just not moving certain areas?
I literally said this the other day. I was like, I wish hard work and talent was all enough,
bruv,
to be successful. Right? Because why are there the elements of this and that? And because it's not fair. Not to sound like a brat, but it's not fair.
It's not fair. And it's been not fair because, let's just look at the history of girl bands of the last 20 years. Who's the front runner? Who's even in the band? The last time I can really look at a girl band that looked like me was Cleopatra, and you gave them, what, 2 years of airtime?
True.
If that. And then when the girl bands even disperse, if there was a dark-skinned one, where is she? What's she doing? What's happening? Who's supporting her career? That, for me, is still something I am working on and working through. And it's hard to do that. Not that I would do it publicly. It's hard to even have this conversation publicly because so many Black people don't stutter to tell me, but you've got it good. But you've got it good. And let me tell you something. On paper, having a shaved head, being dark skinned, not being a size 2, yes, me have it good. It could be fucking better. And it really aggravates people when I say that. Yes, I have one bag of gold coins. I want 5.
Yeah.
Everyone then gets vexed when I say I want the other 4. Because again, what they can't say is, but look at how you look. You should be happy. No. I want all the bags. And I don't understand why me even voicing that is a problem.
Right.
Because guess what? If I looked more like someone else, be like, yeah, babe, support you. Hashtag we stand with you. But because I'm not the standard, and you guys already think I have too much.
Right.
Something gets lost in translation.
Yeah, Black women are not allowed to want more.
Want more? When in some areas of our lives, we're even maybe perceived to have more than white women. Don't make them choke.
No, but one thing that I have said is like, I don't know if this is going to sound super controversial, but for me, I feel like this whole narrative of telling just women in general that they need to be the main character, when white women take that on, that's scary and that's dangerous. But I don't want to sound anti-women, but it's just like, but it is dangerous because...
Also, you guys have been in that character for a bit and maybe you just don't even realise. Do you know what I'm saying? And you taking up so much space means that more marginalised female voices don't get heard.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like, but they don't want to hear it. So that's why more time when people see me online or see the work I do, it's very Auntie Candice. It's just very graceful. It's very swan-like. Because I'm like, if I open my throat... if I open my throat the way my Reiki healer says I should, I might not have a job. So, and that's another thing. It's about having to be mindful of how much of that energy you give, because it could quite literally be the difference between us having the one bag and nothing.
Right.
Because the flip side, especially in our community, is also, but you're not speaking about that. But you're not doing, is it every day black women have to toil? Also, is it every day that a specific kind of black woman has to toil? Because I see the ones you're always putting that label on and they look like me. So on top of having to toe the line, not saying that we're worth this, not getting what we think we are worth, we also have that you need to do this. Shut up.
Very shut up.
And like, you're actually just going to take us living well and enjoying it and like it. It's not everyday trauma porn or leaning into these more painful things to appease you or even appease the algorithm.
Yeah, because I feel like when black women are just purely in luxury,
oh girl,
it's just glazed over. Girl. It's like
and hated. It's just so hated, and unfortunately it's still so very hated by other black women. Because we're not used to giving each other that grace yet. Also, we're not used to understanding that whatever my sister has, I can have too.
Yeah.
Because we've been told, especially in the UK, one seat at the table, the room's full, there's no room in the inn. Don't you see there's one of you here already? We can't accommodate someone. You know, we've ticked our box. You're the pick of the week. Because that messaging is always pushed as well, it makes us very volatile towards one another.
Yeah, because I remember I was having a conversation with a friend before, and she was saying, well, you know, like, there's room for everyone. And I was like, that's very white what of
friend
you.
Was she? I knew it. I was like, what kind of friend
was this? I was like, you don't understand. Like, we have been programmed. We've been set against each other because there's only space for one of us.
Nice.
So it's like, I don't know what you want us to do, because we can't be like, bringing one another up, because
one of the best things I've ever done is try and get over that and reach out to women in my career space myself. So not depending on PR agencies to do that, just going straight to the root of heart of the matter. Oh, you're going to be at this event, and actually speaking to the women that look like me, because they will keep us apart for as long as possible. They will help support the argument or the energy. And so I always try to be as upfront and as friendly as possible, specifically with women that look like me. Like, I go out of my way to do that. But on the flip side, what I had to learn in doing that is I can't just be your friend based on the fact that we do look alike, because there are some black-hearted ones.
Yeah.
And it don't matter that, you know, we've got this in common or this vibe or this look in common. It doesn't mean that everyone needs to come in that journey, or that I need to hold that door open to everyone just because I'm like, we need to like work together and stick together. Some of us know. But I had to learn that the hard way and override my desire to be that people pleaser and the one that's like, let's try and make this happen. But we do just need to get better at going directly to each other.
Yeah, I agree. I do think that, like, I've definitely been in the people pleaser space as well, just because I just want everyone to get along, and I want to be seen as the soft or the sociable, or, you know, just the palatable one.
Yes.
So I would always try and like make the community and stuff. So I feel you with that one. And I feel you with going directly to the person. I just think it's hard, like, to find or to know if people are on your same wavelength though, or if they're still caught up in the bitter.
Especially in the UK, I've been going back and forth to New York now over the course of the last year because that's where my next step, that's where I would like to be rooted. Oh, African-American girlies have my heart.
When I tell you the community
it's in
America.
It's not pretend, like no. It's so real. These girls ride for each other. They're sharing the details on jobs. They're letting each other know what they're being paid so the other one isn't lowballed. Mm. Like, that sisterhood is a real thing. And I'm just like, yeah, we've got a long while to go in the UK to be doing what they're doing. And it shows in their friendships and in their content and in the work they create. You don't see one without the other. Mm. Like, they're a very close-knit community. And I, for numerous reasons, we are not there yet.
Mm. I think even in terms of relationships and like black love.
Oh, of course.
It's way.
Of course.
You know.
It's just, it's way ahead in every sense right. over there. And what I have found in the UK is that black love doesn't get the same representation as interracial love.
Trust.
It just doesn't have the best PR. It ain't got the PR.
It's so
it doesn't
true.
Have the budget.
Like, literally.
Because when I start digging and I go to certain events and I see couples come in, I'm like, well, there's enough of us. But it just doesn't have. They don't want to send that message. They don't want to send that message that there are fully black men with fully black women having a whale of a time. So again, we have to DM each other. We have to go out together. We have to like carve out these spaces. I remember going out to eat. It was myself and my husband and two other very, very black couples. And we were this close to taking a picture that was very reminiscent of, do you remember the infamous picture of like the Hollywood black guys and their wives?
No.
So it was like, I don't even want to say names, but it was the wives that were, are some of them are black, but they're very light skinned.
Okay.
So it was like the black guys behind them and all the wives. So right. We were going to replicate that picture for months because I was like, actually, we need our time to shine. But it's just not given that push.
Mm.
Black love in the UK is just not, it's not put on that pedestal.
Mm. No, I definitely agree. Even me, it's like, even in the queer community, I don't feel like...
I don't see it.
I was like, this guy, wait, do you know one of both black female
exactly.
people? I don't know about anyone.
I don't know.
Anyone want to tell me? Because I don't know.
This is it.
Where are we?
And the thing is, I know we exist.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Because then in my friendship groups, I do know a black queer... Do you know, we exist. But again, we're just not pushed to the front.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, I wanted to ask you a question. What is one apology that you've made in the past that you would like to take back?
Oh, wow. I'd like to take back. Any apology to do with me minimizing myself. And there were a lot of those over the years. But just apologies almost for existing or apologies for like, speaking my truth and it not being received, or not even not being received, being twisted, you know, just a lot of, I'm really lucky that between my maternal grandfather and my dad, I've never been shy to like speak my mind. But on the flip, I've also grown up in spaces where you got more love. And this is from not just in your household, but in your community, you got more love if you just appease, if you just get on. You know, if you just look past certain things, especially in the black community. And there are certain things in my community that I'm never going to look past.
Yeah.
And very early on, that had me in certain spaces carved as the black sheep. I was even talking today on TikTok about how there was a family friend we once had. And you know that the family friend you call auntie or uncle. And for many years, like, she'd just get on me. She'd be like, oh, you're gaining too much weight. You know those aunties.
Right.
And I think I was about 17 when I snapped and was like, child, you are not the poster child for Weight Watchers. So hold your lip, yeah? And then I remember being in a room with a family member who was like, Candice, that was so rude. You need to apologize. And I was saying on TikTok today, like, I'm going to be the ultimate auntie defender. Like, you cannot talk to these kiddie bops anyway in my presence.
Mm.
And then I'm going to be like, oh, because of respectability politics, you're younger, you need to apologize to the. Those days are
outdated.
Finished.
Yeah.
So I'd take all those apologies back. Because I actually didn't mean them. I'm just not trying to have tension in my day-to-day life.
Yeah.
But also, I knew from very early on as a black girl, regardless of skin tone, no one was going to have my back like me. For me. No one. Not a stranger on road, not this person. Like, I would have to speak up for myself. Because you mean to tell me in this intimate setting, you've heard what this person has said to me, and out of respectability politics, you're telling me to dial it down? How about we throw this person out? Yeah. And we have a problem in our community with that on a lot of levels.
Yeah.
We're unable to weed out the men that prey on the young girls. Because, you know, it's uncle and you know how. I don't know. I don't need to be knowing. It's not something, you know, when those situations coming up when it was like, oh, so-and-so's coming over, make sure you're dressed decent.
Yeah.
How about if you think he's going to look at me indecently, he don't come in the yard? How about it? Because already from a very young age, you're making black girls feel that being overtly sexualized is their fault. That being catcalled in my school uniform is my fault. That being this place at this time, it's all my fault. Oh, I would like a refund on all those apologies. Immediately.
Immediately. Well, thank you so much for having this chat with me.
Oh, no, thank you for having me. That flew past.
Right.
Thank you for having me.
Is there anything you want to plug?
What's what I want to plug? Black love, obviously. Like I said, though, ladies, like, don't turn to a skeleton waiting on it. Go where the love is. Speaking of love, my most recent book, Cuts Both Ways, is a very, very emotional YA love novel. So I'd love for people to read that. And yeah, that's it.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Say It With Your Chest. If you're loving the conversations that we're having, make sure to rate us 5 stars and to leave a review wherever you're watching or listening right now. Make sure to follow, like, and subscribe to all things Say It With Your Chest, and make sure you follow Girls Who Are Boys on Instagram and TikTok to know when the next episode will drop. See you next time. Insanity Group.